case today, number 14, 1853, Juice Generation, Inc. against GS Enterprises. Mr. Acharya.
Thank you. Good afternoon and thank you. May it please the court. My name is Nigam Acharya and I'm representing Juice Generation in the appeal of the United States Trademark and Trial Appeal decision in the case of GS Enterprises versus Juice Generation. This trademark case is about the widespread use of the moniker Juice Peace and Love, reminiscent of the 1960s, and directly tests the crowded field theory in trademark law. Juice Generation submits, if this is not a crowded field, then the concept of crowded field has very little value in trademark law. It can't be the case that Juice Generation's mark, Peace, Love, and Juice, creates confusion with peace and love in a landscape full of peace, love, and formatives. There are at least 41 marks owned by over 30 entities coexisting in the marketplace. And this is a very crowded field and should have been dispositive of the case.
I don't remember. Are all of those in the food-related marketplace?
Food-related and restaurant services.
Is this application on the principal register or the supplemental?
It is on the principal register. GS Enterprises does not dispute that the mark coexists with Peace, Love, and Pizza, Peace, Love, and Noodles, Peace, Love, and Ice Cream, Peace, Love, and Popcorn, Peace, Love, and Rocky Road.
What do you mean by they don't dispute that it coexists? That you mean that these other things in fact exist, or they concede that there's no confusion as to them?
They concede that they've coexisted with these marketplaces. They haven't put any evidence into the record saying that there's confusion between these entities, which have existed prior to their registration.
So your theory is the more crowded the field, the less confusion there is.
Less confusion. And then it's like Broadway in Ray Broadway case.
And so maybe the more crowded the field, the more confusing. Maybe it's time to slow down on the crowding.
Well, but when you get to this crowded place where you're using the moniker that the reason it's crowded is it's reminiscent of the 1960s theme, it's got that descriptive aspect, is once you get to the point of crowdedness, consumers already learn to decipher between goods and services based on extra elements, whether it's beer, pizza, juice, or some other factor. The consumer base turns into that type of name.
Isn't there some point, though, where there's just the field is too crowded? I mean, and just keep adding to it.
At some point, it would become so crowded that the names would be confusingly similar, but we don't have that in this case because it's peace and love versus peace, love, and juice. If we pick something less close, if something closer, we'd have more trouble. But we're still in the field where it's peace, love, and something else. And here we've got peace, love, and juice.
And you have, I guess, as I take it, your argument rests on a combination of two things. One is the crowdedness, and second, that the love, peace, love, and blank has something at least suggestive, maybe somewhat descriptive about it.
Yeah, it's just another term that we think consumers have recognized. We've got juice bar services, and so we said peace, love, and juice, reminiscent of the 60s. This kind of highly descriptive term at the beginning, and then our extra element, which creates a new commercial impression that we think is that doesn't create likely a confusion between anything in the space. And we believe the board's decision is erroneous because it's not supported by any type of – when you look at the factors, the third-party use, the differences in the mark, and the weakness of the mark all together overwhelmingly show that there couldn't be confusion in the marketplace. GS Enterprises admits that consumers recognize subtle differences in marks in this space. And to defend this decision, GS Enterprises is not going to point to any evidence in the record because the only evidence in the record they entered was evidence directed towards showing that restaurant services and juice services were related, which Juice Generation readily conceded. And we believe that the legal conclusion of likelihood of confusion, which gets reviewed de novo, overwhelmingly favors no likelihood of confusion. Here, the peace and love marks are used throughout the United States. GS Enterprises, they've recognized that even in USPTO responses and admissions that consumers recognize extra elements on their marks. Like in Broadway is a very similar case to this, in which case the court said, in view of the crowded field, the mark in Broadway was considered a weak term, and that customers recognized Broadway versus something else. And there they allowed Broadway versus Broadway pizza, noticing that there's a different, that consumers have been conditioned to differentiate between those types of marks. And they also...
Were the Broadway businesses all geographically, in fact, connected with Broadway? Or
not always. No. Not always. They were across the country. They entered in evidence of around 400 different listings in multiple. The evidence was very similar in that they were all in the area. They went after the theme of Broadway being New York, as we did in the theme of peace and love of the 1960s. And so we think when the factors of confusion are looked into that lens, the board made a clear error in law and in finding confusion. But turning to the second point.
The word juice was disclaimed though, right?
Yes.
Does that change your analysis any as to the crowded field?
No, it doesn't. It goes on to the second point, that we think that word actually has the more relevance, in the sense that people are looking at peace, love, and juice, peace, love, and beer, peace, love, and ice cream. We entered testimony to show that that's what the marketplace was looking at. It was uncontroverted. No one questioned the credibility of it, which turns to my next point, is we think the board created error in that there's not substantial evidence supporting the factual findings, and they're arbitrary and capricious. The board erred by failing to give credit to Juice Generation's uncontroverted evidence of third-party use, the conditions of the marketplace, which included GS Enterprises' statements about the market, the weakness of the terms peace and love, and the consumer's ability to filter between marks. We think that the board's findings actually rest against the uncontroverted evidence. The board says, well, peace and love are the dominant words, but it's on the contrary. We've introduced evidence to the contrary that said it's not the peace-love words. The peace-love and juice, the overall impression that creates no likelihood of confusion. So here, even though the board points out correctly that normally the words are the dominant terms, that wasn't the case here. You had evidence to the contrary, and without some type of finding on that issue.
What evidence did you present that a customer could distinguish between the differences in peace, love, and whatever follows?
Our evidence came into two forms. One, a testimony from our founder, who is familiar with the environment, who is familiar with the marketplace, and then also GS Enterprises' own statements about what the marketplace looked like. They had made certain admissions about how customers they found significant the and between peace and juice, peace and love versus peace love. They had made those admissions on the record.
I don't hear you saying very much about the design. Is this viewed as entirely a word mark with the design just decorative, or is it limited to the design?
No, we also add the design as even compounding this difference. But we think on the words themselves, the mark stands on its own. The design just makes things more...
But you haven't applied for the words alone, is that right?
We did not apply in this application. We put them in a design, and because that's how the client was using, how Juice Generation was using it at the time. Otherwise,
so if someone uses the words without the design, in your view, is that covered by any registration you might obtain?
Not this registration, necessarily, unless they put it in a confusingly similar with the design. It would have to be a complete. We'd have to look at the 16 factors against that design.
Do you have pending applications for the words without the design?
We have a pending application for the words with juices themselves.
With what?
With the juices themselves, not juice services. We have one pending application for the words with juices themselves, not juice services.
So the same collection of words without the design, but different goods.
With different goods, which we think further obviates the differences, and is also how the client uses the mark. And the second thing is we found that, so we think that the board stating that it was unable to find consumers were conditioned to recognize that entities use peace and love with similar services despite uncontroverted evidence of third-party uses, testimony about the marketplace, and even GS Enterprises' own admissions about the marketplace, we think contradicts this. There can't be substantial evidence around that. Because without some type of explanation, the record only speaks one way. And the board must have acted outside the record to rule against those facts.
So what do you mean by outside the record? What about human intelligence? Is that outside the record? Are they not permitted to appreciate that the words peace and love and juice are in the dictionary?
This wasn't a question of necessarily of what the words meant. These were marketplace definitions, and the Federal Circuit has said that the board should let the parties define the marketplace. They are in better position to know what the marketplace then is than the board. And that's in the Bongren decision.
Could you address the issue of whether the board considered the mark as a whole in its entirety?
We think the board did not consider the mark in a whole in entirety, because we think that the board took peace and love and said it's comprised within it, and then it subtracted the and from the peace love, and said, oh, the marks must be the same. And they ignored the disclaimed word saying it had very little impact on the overall impression, which we thought was inconsistent with the testimony that we provided, which was inconsistent with the way they actually get viewed in the market.
So if the board assigns zero weight or little weight to a disclaimed word, then do they need to bring that back up into the review and the mark in its entirety? I mean, it's got a zero weight.
I think in this case, we ordinarily, without our testimonial evidence saying it has weight, it would be inconsistent with the marketplace to give it no weight, because it's peace, love, and beer disclaimed.
No, legally, would it be inconsistent?
It would be legally inconsistent, because the overall impression the overall impressions of the mark are changed by that disclaimed word.
If you can briefly summarize, what is the distinction between your mark and the other peace and love marks?
As a whole? So our peace love marks are, we use the theme common to all the 1960s marks, but we've added the unique term, no one else has added, juice. And consumers see peace, love, and juice and know there are services. They know they don't believe their GS's services. They don't believe their Baskin Robbins peace, love, and ice cream. They know that their peace, love, and juice is ours.
And how does one know? You say they know.
Because the consumers know through our advertising, our branding, our overall marketing strategy, and it's just through that.
Did you introduce evidence about what the consumers know?
Yes, we introduced testimony regarding what consumers know, and we also introduced comments from.
I know the testimony of the CEO of the company, but
yeah,
what did you have? Customer surveys?
We did not have surveys in this case.
Well, how do you know what the consumer knows?
We went with uncontested testimony at the time. And he was familiar with this marketplace for the last 7 years.
Whose testimony? The CEO, right?
Yeah, the CEO. He had looked at the evidence and given his uncontested testimony. No one questioned the credibility.
Let's hear from the other side.
Thanks.
Mr. Barks.
May it please the court. Good afternoon, Your Honors. My name is Justin Barks. I'm here on behalf of GS Enterprises, appellee in this case. Your Honors, this is a case simply about whether Juice Generation's mark, Peace, Love, and Juice, is likely to confuse the relevant consumers in light of GS Enterprises' family of marks, which include Peace and Love. Now, the board made a determination finding in favor of likelihood of confusion based on one of Appley's marks, specifically the standard character mark, Peace and Love, in Class 43 for restaurant services. This is not a case about whether Appley's marks are valid, whether they are descriptive or not descriptive, or whether they're distinctive.
Right, but isn't there case law that indicates that either the strength of the opposer's mark or the descriptive character in some degree is relevant to the likelihood of confusion inquiry, even if not so compelling as to render the registration invalid?
Your Honor, in the case in which two answers to that question, because you're talking about strength of the mark and the sixth DuPont factor, which is the field. And the question of whether the field, the question of the number and nature of similar marks to the opposer, in this case, Appley, is a separate question of the strength of the mark, which actually tends to do with fame of the mark, which is not present in this case.
Right. We are not limited to a list of 13 factors.
Yes, Your Honor.
So strength of the mark does intuitively bear on whether confusion is likely. And there are a number of cases, right, that say that we can consider that.
Yes, Your Honor.
Without invalidating the opposer's own registration. And I know it's a separate question, but is that not similarly the case with respect to the descriptiveness or suggestiveness, the of the terminology being used?
Yes, Your Honor. Insofar as there is not an impermissible collateral attack on the registrations, those are aspects which the board and in your de novo review of the facts can consider. However, no evidence of descriptiveness or suggestiveness was met by the board that was outside the bounds of this collateral attack. Appellants actually stated in their brief, in their trial brief before the board, that the term peace and love is descriptive. And then just before you a moment ago, they stated again that peace and love is descriptive.
This is what I guess you're more familiar than I am at the moment with the case law. I thought that the registration applicant is entitled to say that about the opposer's registration without it being a challenge to the validity of the opposer's registration. Say it is actually somewhat descriptive. And that is a reason that consumers are fundamentally not going to be confused, because they're going to see those collection of symbols or words and they're going to think, that's not GS. It's something about the atmosphere, about the mood, the mindset the store wants the customers to have when they come in.
Yes, Your Honor.
So in that sense, it's relevant without being an impermissible collateral attack.
Yes, Your Honor. And the factors, the DuPont factors themselves, are necessarily intertwined with one another. Thus, the sixth DuPont factor and the third DuPont factor, and the question of whether the marks compared in sight, sound, meaning, and commercial impression, which is an aspect of the strength of the mark. Each of these come together to form the board's decision of whether a likelihood of confusion exists. That's why we have all of those factors. In this case, the question of the DuPont factor number six and whether there are these other marks, that's how appellants raised the issue of distinctiveness, of peace and love in the greater field. However, they overstepped that boundary of strength by stating that we had a descriptive mark in its entirety, because our mark is peace and love, not the peace, love formatives that appellants state that their mark is, and that each and every other third-party use and mark that they raise in the sixth DuPont factor is. As this court stated in Stonecore, the issue of the sixth DuPont factor is whether or not opposer's mark is present in this field. Every single one of the third-party uses and or registrations, because Appley does contest that the quote-unquote 41 uses are all uses. Many of them are simply registrations without any additional use information. That these are all peace-love formative, or love-peace formative, or something-something peace-love. That's not our mark. Our mark is peace and love.
Well, when you started your argument, you said something about the family of marks, and I thought you were talking about your client's family of marks.
Yes,
but
sir.
You're now saying that all these marks that are listed, peace, love, and pizza, peace, love, and ice cream, peace, love, and little donuts, and so on, these have nothing to do with your client. They're all third-party, unrelated marks?
Yes, Your Honor. The evidence that was proffered by appellants, the Thompson CompuMark search, the exhibits that were attached to Mr. Helms' deposition, these are all additional marks that they're bringing to the field to compare Opposer, GS Enterprises, Family of Peace and Love marks to the world.
Well, then how really is it reasonable to counter the argument that the marketplace is already so encumbered with peace and love marks that one more or less isn't going to cause any more confusion to your client than may already be out there?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Accepting that there are three or four dozen peace, love, and something or else marks that have no relationship to your client, how are you injured by one more of the same?
Yes, Your Honor, and this goes to a question that Judge Toronto asked of appellants in his opening.
Okay.
The 41 or so that appellants are stating are this massive number of registrations and uses are not 41 marks, Your Honor. We do not agree that the number of marks in this field are as many and multitudinous as appellants would tend to have the court believe.
Say there are only 10, then we don't have to worry about how many dozen.
Yes, Your Honor, but in the case that there are only 10, that does not mean that peace and love is a diluted term that is not afforded the protection under the Trademark Act. In this case, peace and love is distinctive. In none of the
They're not asking for peace and love. They're asking for peace, love, and juice.
Yes, Your Honor, and that brings me to the comparison of the two marks in terms of sight, sound, meaning, and commercial impression. The fact that applicants, appellants, have included the word juice at the end of their mark and then proceeded to disclaim the word juice effectively renders their protection over the word peace, love, and juice to just peace and love, just those two elements.
I mean, to some extent, maybe the board's reasoning kind of turns on that. That's counterintuitive to me. There are many combinations of words that are more than the sum of their individual parts. The Supreme Court had a decision not long ago about personal privacy and rejected the notion that personal privacy had a meaning that was the result of breaking down the thing into the two pieces and translating personal into like personal property or something like that. The trio, peace, love, and whatever, has a meaning, maybe reflecting peace, love, and understanding or something that has maybe some whimsy in it as a trio that the first two don't, standing by itself. And if that's right, and I guess I'm having a little hard time overcoming that, then it seems as if maybe the board, in wiping out the third number of the trio, focused on the wrong question.
Your Honor, I'm going to break your question into a bunch of different...
And I won't hold that against
you. Okay. First, Your Honor, the board did not dissect either of the marks. Under the law, a proper comparison of the mark allows and necessitates the board to take the mark in pieces, determine which pieces to give greater weight to, and then essentially bring the mark together and weigh the marks and those individual pieces. Now, the marks can't be compared side by side. They have to be compared as the relevant consumers would see them in the marketplace, and they have to be considered in terms of the general impression that consumers will be left with. In the board's comparison of the two marks, Appley's Peace and Love mark and Appellant's Peace, Love, and Juice mark were taken apart to determine the dominant portions of these marks. In light of, and this is wholly separate from the board's decision, but under the law, under Tektronix versus Daktronix, a CCPA court in 1976 determined that the third-party registrations without any additional use can show dictionary-type meanings of certain words if used throughout the principal and supplemental registers. In this case, we have a number of uses of peace and love in conjunction. Therefore, peace and love are the two words that are joined here. And the addition of the extraneous juice or beer or little donuts is not a part of the dominant elements of the mark. Again, the law also states that disclaimed elements, while must be considered and afforded some amount of weight, unless they're generic, they cannot be the dominant elements of the mark.
Can they have zero weight?
In the case that they're generic of the goods or services, Your Honor, I would imagine that they should have zero weight. In this case, the board found that juice was generic of the goods and services, specifically juice bar services of Appellant.
So does that mean that the board doesn't have to consider adding that word juice and looking at the mark as a whole?
Your Honor, no. As Judge Toronto...
What evidence do we have, or what do we have in the record that shows that the board did that?
Your Honor, in their consideration of the mark, and I can get you a record site if you prefer that. In their consideration of the mark, the board took procedurally steps to compare the dominant and then the additional non-distinctive elements, the disclaimed elements, and then the design elements and font elements in the Appellant's mark. The board stated explicitly that the marks need to be considered in their whole, not just the dominant elements.
I know they said that, but where did they do it? What process did they go through? What analysis, and what was the resolution of that analysis?
Your Honor, to the extent that we have in the board's decision, they stated that the peace love elements were dominant, that the and or the ampersand, which would sound like the word and in Appley's mark, was not distinctive. They stated that because juice had been disclaimed, it was also not distinctive, and then compared peace, love, and peace and love. Following that, they added in the ampersand and the disclaimed element, stating that even if juice is added to the end of peace, love, and juice, the dominant elements still outweigh because juice is generic of the goods of the appellant. Then they considered the design elements. They stated that while peace and love is a standard character mark and can be displayed in any font, in any or in vertical or horizontal, the design elements were also not distinctive because of the standard character element. So
What was the evidence that juice is not distinctive?
It was a determination by the board of the disclaimer that was included in the application of appellants, Your Honor. Just want to close briefly. It's for these reasons, Your Honors, that appellee respectively requests that this court uphold the determination of the board, because the crowded field is not nearly as crowded as appellant contends, and the board did not improperly dissect the marks in their comparison. Thank you.
Any more questions? More questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Acharya.
Yeah.
So Apple GS Enterprises has made a point that their mark is peace and love. And it's a red herring to say we're attacking the validity of that mark. What we are saying is it's hemmed in on all sides in this marketplace. Peace, love, and juice, and beer, and little donuts, and another 30 or so other marks.
Can I ask, is the analysis here... in the analysis here, is it right to ask, suppose GS opened a juice bar, used its mark, peace and love, on a juice bar, so identical services. Their registration, I think, is broad enough to cover that? Right. Is that right? I mean, they're...
We consider them legally related for this proceeding.
Okay. So is it really the case that there would not be... likely confusion in that instance? Your juice bar, peace, love, and juice. Their juice bar, peace and love.
So if they called it peace, love...
Peace and love. They use their registered mark on identical services.
In this dilute environment with more than 41, we don't argue that we wouldn't be hemmed in just as narrowly as they are.
And we would, in order to rule for you, we have to think that that's right, right? Because their registration... covers that.
No, it does. It wouldn't cover that broadly. It would have to be peace and love, juice bar services, juice bar juice, peace and love juice, and they would be hemmed in just as much as we are. Is that we would not be able to enforce against that, because that's so narrow. It's consumers would recognize the difference between peace and love, and with juice bar services. Just as we would not be able to, they would know us as peace, love, and juice. If they said peace and love and juice bar services, it's even questionable there. It's because this is such a crowded field. It's tough to do anything long-term in this hemmed-out environment. And that's why we see peace, love, and beer, peace, love, and all the other formatives that we see out there. We're not arguing that our mark will be the most powerful mark out there. It's a thinner mark, as all these other ones are too.
But once you disclaim and juice, aren't you claiming the same mark as the opposer?
No, this court has also said that the disclaimed term remains in the analysis of the DuPont factors. It doesn't get dissected. There's no evidence in the record that consumers would not see that.
The answer is yes or no.
No. We don't take
it. Is it legally correct for the board to assign zero weight to a disclaimer?
It is not appropriate for zero weight to it. It has to be in the analysis, and there's established case law.
But why is, when you have a mark of three words and you disclaim the third word, how does that differ from a two-word mark?
It's another term that changes the consumer impression of the overall mark, whether it's peace, love, and little donuts.
You say overall mark, we disclaim the third word. Now your overall mark is two words, not three.
The disclaimer is part of the entire mark and its commercial impression.
And what is accomplished by the disclaimer?
It's just saying that we're not going to enforce. It's saying we're not going to enforce juice against juice bar services. That's all that disclaimer means under trademark prosecution guidance. It's saying, all right, we've got juice in this mark. We're not going to enforce it against juice and peace bar services. We're not.
So I can start selling peace, love, and juice, and you're not going to enforce the registration?
Peace, love, and juice. Peace and love and juice, we wouldn't enforce it against them.
That's what you would?
We would not. Peace, at least if it's limited. If somebody's peace, love, and juice, we would enforce against that.
So if I say peace and love and juice,
we would
that's
not enforce it against that.
But if I sell peace, love, and juice and disclaim the juice, then there's nothing for you to enforce. Or don't disclaim the juice.
If we don't disclaim the juice, there would be a likelihood of confusion because that word there would cause confusion without the other portion of the mark. Because it's Appellee has already said that the and between peace and love is distinctive.
You didn't
in their
disclaim
mark.
And, you disclaimed juice.
But it's the position of peace, the ampersand between peace and love that Appellee has said is their key to their mark. So if they said peace and love and juice, we would not have a problem with that. If they use peace, love, and juice, we would have a problem
and
with
what
that.
Good is your proposed registration?
It's not with 41 in this crowded mark, it would prevent people from just doing the identical, essentially more or less, it would prevent people. It's not a perfect registration. It's not a perfect registration because it's in a crowded field. And the crowded field doctrine takes that into account. It's hemmed in on all sides that you don't get
to preserve the design, right?
The design is the design is what we would also be going
if
with.
If I use peace, love, and juice and don't use the flower or whatever that is, there's no recourse?
There'd be largely no recourse. This is in a crowded field that where our mark is hemmed in. It's just like peace, love, and pizza, peace, love, and beer. If they started a beer company or if they started a pizza company, it would be peace, love, and pizza. There were the recourses limited in the crowded field. And that's the whole idea behind when you choose a weak mark like this, you don't have an extraordinary amount of protection. You only have a limited amount of protection here. Peace, love, and juice, we would have protection on plus this design element. Nothing more. And the examiner has let this one through, and it had let the other one for juice through. And
you have to disclaim juice in order for it to go through?
Yeah, you have to disclaim juice because we're not asserting any rights to juice independent of the mark. That's all the disclaimer is saying.
But wasn't the disclaimer with your application as filed?
Yeah, we disclaimed juice with the application as filed.
It wasn't required by the board.
It would have been. It would have been.
How do you know?
Because just the ordinary.
What if they might have disclaimed peace?
Peace is not descriptive of the goods. Even though we're not arguing that's highly descriptive of the good.
Because peace is highly generic.
Yeah, highly generic of the juice. It'd be, yeah, highly descriptive. Yeah, it's generic of the juice bar services. And it's just like pizza is generic of the pizza services.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you both. The case is taken under submission.
Thank you.